Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to go into the next part of our study of the Epistle of Jude by looking at the profile of the heretics. So let's read verses 5 through 7 of Jude together. Now, I desire to remind you, though you knew all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Now, as we discussed on the last broadcast, here in verse 5, Jude wants to put us in remembrance of the judgment of God against the heretics, although he says we should already know it. Now, here in verses 5 through 7, Jude gives us a profile of what the heretics look like by comparing them with three Old Testament groups: apostate Israelis, apostate angels, and apostate Gentiles. In these three verses, Jude is confirming to us what the Apostle Peter said was coming to the church. So let's read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be also false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by destruction, by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard that righteous man while living among them felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Now, these verses tell us a great deal about the heretics that creep into the church to spread their false teaching. False prophets, false teachers, or heretics always view themselves as their own masters. Therefore, they refuse to honestly acknowledge the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. They will not submit to Jesus as divine master or Lord, nor will they give him the honor and the glory that he so richly deserves. These apostates have no spiritual credibility from God because they do not preach or teach the truth. So because of that, they have to invent their own credibility through a series of fantastic claims of spiritual experiences that are designed to alter the way that people view them. So it is common among the false teachers for them to talk about how they have a unique or a special insight into God that no one else has, or that God speaks to them personally, or that they see visions or have dreams, or that they are in regular communication with angels. They say these things in order to validate themselves in the hearts and minds of the people they want to deceive. False prophets claim special powers to bless or heal or bring financial well-being to those who listen to what they teach. I recently received a brochure from one of these snake oil salesmen. This nationally known heretic promoted a special sale on the power of the Holy Spirit. If I would send his ministry $33.33, this man promised me that he will give me a special anointing from God. If I would send him $66.66, he promised that I would have a double anointing, and if I would really reach out by faith and quickly mail him $99.99, he promised me that I would receive a triple anointing and that I would get a raise on my job and a new car all within 12 months. I tell you, it's enough to break your heart. I really don't understand how people like this can go to sleep at night knowing that they have deceived the simple and have stolen from God's people. Every time someone thinks that I'm blowing all of this out of proportion or that I'm too hard on these evil men, I show them this brochure. For literally centuries, people have misused their position in the Lord to take advantage of others, and Jude says they are ungodly people. So what we need to know is that the more elaborate the ceremony, the more colorful the robes, the more intricate the rituals, the more difficult the ceremonies, the more involved the services, the more fantastic the promises, the more detailed the visions, the less real, spiritual, and less genuine credibility these people have. Those of us who minister the word have one single claim to any credibility at all, and that one single claim is how accurate and how faithful and how consistent and how reliable we are to what the word of God actually says. We have no other claim to any spiritual credibility than that. The personality of the preacher doesn't mean a thing to God and should not mean anything to people. The way a person can scream and holler, the way he prances around, the way he uses words to sound alike, the way he projects his cadence, his ability to manipulate people, none of that has anything to do with whether or not he's the real deal. In fact, the more attention that is spent on those things, the less likely that person is to be a real man of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, that we who preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ are to be nothing but what he called earthen vessels. Now, one way to examine that phrase is to go back to the time before people had running water, and they had to use certain clay pots for what were called privy pots. Privy pots were vessels that people used the bathroom in. Paul said that those of us who preach the glorious word of God are nothing in ourselves. We have no claim to any special anointing in and of ourselves. We have no hotline to heaven through our own status or our own abilities. We have nothing personally that would make us attractive to anyone at all. We are nothing but earthen vessels, privy pots. We are bond slaves. We are the kind of slaves who go to the bottom of the ship and who anonymously grab an oar and begin to row without getting any credit and without making a big splash. To be called into the ministry is to forsake the world and the glamour and the prestige and the fame and the fortune of this earthly life, to pick up the word of God and proclaim its truth without fear and without fail. Ministry is never designed to make the pastor or the teacher popular. No, historically, preachers and teachers of the gospel are some of the most hated and despised men on earth. The ministry is a place where God calls men to help the people to be confronted with their own sinfulness. To be in the ministry is the highest honor and privilege that anyone could have on this earth. The wife and the children of the minister have also been called by God to support their husband and their father in the honor of serving the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of the living God to the people of God. I completely disagree with the modern notion that says that the children of the pastor have to be the worst people in the church. I totally disagree that the wife and the children of the man of God have to be dysfunctional and need therapy. I resent the teaching that says that preachers' kids grow up so deprived and so neglected that they become unable to function in life due to their father being called into the ministry. What a reproach to the Christian ministry. What a slam to the gospel. What a staunch in the nostrils of God to say something like that. The wives and children of preachers have a high honor that very few on earth will ever have. Their father and their husband has been called by Almighty God to minister the only gospel that God gave to man, and that is not being deprived. That is being blessed. The ministry of Jesus Christ is not a showcase for dysfunctional people to become fat and rich and famous and to act like rock stars. The ministry of Jesus Christ is an unattractive place to the world where men go to die to self and they go to learn how to pour out of their broken hearts and their converted minds, and through eyes filled with tears, they bring forth the magnificence and infinitely valuable treasure of the Holy Bible. True spiritual credibility comes from a lifetime of faithful proclamation of God's word, not our word. It comes from God who knows the heart, and it comes from a God that cannot be fooled with superficial piety and nominal service. Peter warned the church back in A.D. 64 that these false teachers were coming. His use of the future tense in these words show that the heretics had not yet come in Peter's day, but Peter warned that they were coming. In 2 Peter 2, verse 1, the apostle says, there will be false teachers among you. The heretics will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Peter says they will bring swift destruction upon themselves. In verse 2, Peter says that many will follow their sensuality. And in just a few years after Peter wrote this, Jude wrote his epistle and said, they're here. Peter warned the church that these men were coming, and Jude says they had arrived. And within 20 years after Jude wrote his epistle, John wrote the book of the Revelation, and five of the seven churches in Asia had already been completely overrun with false teaching and were controlled by false apostles, and one of them was being controlled by the spirit of Jezebel. God called these churches to repentance. Now, Peter compares the heretics to three groups, just as Jude did, although they're a slightly different terminology. Peter said that the men who were coming to the church at some future date to bring in damnable heresy would be just like these three groups: fallen angels, the people who lived during the flood, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude compared the heretics with two of the three groups that Peter did, leaving out the people of the flood and bringing in the unbelieving Israelites. In both Jude and Peter's letter, the reference is very brief because both Jude and Peter were writing to people who were very familiar with these groups. But due to the fact that people in our day are not familiar with these groups, I see the need to go over these groups in great detail with you. So, Lord willing, over the next several broadcasts, we're going to go over the groups of people that both Jude and Peter said were likened unto the heretics who would bring in false teaching into the church. Now, let's look at the first group, the unbelieving Israelites. Now, I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. Here in verse 5, Jude was bringing in a group of people that all of his readers would have been intimately familiar with. Every Jew from a child had the story of the Exodus read over and over to them. It was not only a part of their religious upbringing, but was a part of their culture and heritage. The first thing that Jude wanted his readers to understand was that those who try to deceive, those who try to preach false doctrine, those who teach heresy, would meet up with God's divine judgment just like the unbelieving Jews had in the wilderness. By Jude bringing this group into the discussion of heresy and heretics, he was making several points. First of all those who had a physical and blood heritage with Abraham were brought forth out of Egypt, yet not all of them who were physically in the family were believers, and those unbelievers were manifested, and they were allowed to die during the 40 years of wandering in the desert. Jude was saying the same thing is true about the heretics. They may appear to be spiritual. They may even at times appear to be more spiritual than a true believer. But give them some time, and as time goes on and the trials of life come forth, they will be proven, and as they are examined, their fruit will be checked, their lives are analyzed, their unbelief and their lies and their heresies will become visibly manifest, and they will be identified as to what they really are: unbelieving apostates who will not be able to go into the promised land. Well, I'm out of time for today, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.